I wasn't too much involved in politics at the time, and I was not nearly well as informed as Joe Vogler, but I always kept in contact with him, and I knew he explained different reasons why he was opposed to statehood, especially when it came to the point where the settlement would, we'd get about a third of Alaska and approximately a third of Alaska and the rest would be federal land. That didn't seem like a very fair deal to me in the first place. It seemed to me that if we were going to be a state, the state would have control of most of its land, not the smallest piece of pie. So, and personally, I don't know. I really never did entrust the federal government too much anyway. I learned a lot from Joe. And I'd also, I've got kind of an inquisitive mind. I was always searching for information. I was trying to figure out why while our country was always coming out on the short end of the stick, it didn't seem to add up to me that the communists and the other countries are always making fools out of us and making us look like a monkey. So I was quite, I began to really get interested in politics, and I learned, so learning a lot from Joe, and I listened to his views a lot, and I knew he was against it. And of course, like I said, I knew that with statehood we'd have more regulations, more bureaucracy. In fact, I got a book here. At the time, the Newsminer was running all these articles in favor of statehood and literally making a jackass out of anybody and everybody of any prominence that was opposed to it.
And there were quite a few that were opposed.
Yeah, and but they literally made fools out of them, or if they had any comments, criticisms to make, they were usually put on the back page or somewhere or something. I can remember Father Hubbard was I knew him. He was a glacial priest.
Father Hubbard.
I knew him. He was opposed to statehood, and I can remember his he said the politicians would be the only ones to to benefit by it. Put his statement by the last page in the paper. So I knew there was something to be suspicious about. But I have a little statement here out of a book called The Revelations and Messages of Mary Ann Van Hoof, dated November 18, 1960. And she says, as is given before, she says, Columbia is one of the springboards for attacking the United States. But now in our own beloved USA, as given before, there are many red spots. Alaska now has been opened by becoming a state of the Union to all the riffraff, the ungodly, and those, the enemies of the Christian world. They had all gathered before the last signature was placed on the documentation to make Alaska the state. Now that gives them also free entry into your beloved U.S. Hawaiian Islands the same. And many are not for our country or the love and glory of the flag in this nation, but to shred and destroy it.
Hmm. Strong statement.
And this statement comes from a saint, not a radical. There's 20 years of revelations.
So all the time you were involved in mining, not full time, but you were seeing that regulations because of the government were making it more difficult for people like you.
The reason I shut down mining was to comply with their regulations. I would have had to buy a lot more equipment. Even secondhand equipment, I figured I'd probably have to buy at least another $75,000 worth of equipment. And I knew from the shenanigans in the past that if I did, they could always change the rules in the middle of the game, change the laws in the middle of the game. So I knew that I was vulnerable, so I decided to shut down instead. Mm-hmm. Keep what savings I had instead of investing it into a risky adventure we're dealing with federal regulations.
Did you ever do any mining with Joe? Get out and see
no,
his place?
No, not with Joe Vogler, mm-hmm. but I used to visit him a lot. We get together a lot and talk and go to lunch with him and stuff like that. And I knew the Democratic and the Republican Party were there weren't too much difference in them. Something like Wallace said there was hardly a dime's worth of difference between the two, if you can remember that. although I do favor the Republican Party, and I was a Republican for years, and my wife's a Republican yet, and I'm a member of the Alaska Independence mm-hmm. Party, and we don't see eye to eye. She's too independent, so am I.
You go your own ways on politics. Well, the Alaska Independence Party was founded in the early 70s, 1972?
Yeah.
But it was really an offshoot then of statehood and some of the things that happened
Joe,
in between?
Joe was building up to it through the years, mm-hmm. trying to educate. He and Fred Wilkerson, I believe, from his friend from the Circle District, Fred Wilkerson was up there mining in the Circle District the same time he was. And I think the way I understand from Joe Vogler talking, the two of them, they kind of put the original platform of the party mm-hmm. together.
Oh, those two, and then...
Yeah, but I was always close to Joe, and we always had the same ideas on this party, and was hoping that we could get it viable enough to get on the ballot, you know. I was working, and at the time when Coghill and Hickel were had the break with Coghill had the break with Sterzalewski and got together with Hickel to get on the ticket. I was on the board of the Central Committee of the Alaska Independence Party, the six of us. There was Joe Vogler and Doris, D. Roberts, Rosalind Stoll, Frenchie D. Roche, and myself. And we're the ones that sat down and discussed whether we wanted Hickel and Coghill on our party or not. And of course, Joe Vogler favored it. So we were the six that signed the document to put them on the party ticket.
So you offered them the party?
We were the six, yeah.
I mean, how did this partnership come about when Coghill broke with Sterzalewski? Did he come to you, or did you go to
him? Joe Vogler. Coghill came to Vogler, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm. That's what I wondered.
And then he talked Hickel into running, yeah. Yeah, because Coghill has come to our meetings and conventions for quite a number of years, and he is closely associated with, even though he was still in the Republican Party, but he seemed to be quite interested in the party all the time.
So he had that prior knowledge and saw that this was an opportunity to...
We thought we were really doing a good deal. when we got Hickel on, because even though Sterzalewski was running under the Republican banner, we never felt that she was much of a Republican. So we thought we were doing Alaska a pretty good favor by getting Hickel on, you know. And Hickel being a long-time Alaskan, we expected a lot from him. We expected mm-hmm. him to change a few things, but it hasn't changed much. And personally, I don't dislike Hickel, but I'm quite disappointed.
Disappointed.
Yeah, and so is our party. Yeah, he didn't live up to our expectations, but I don't think the majority of the citizens of Alaska are quite satisfied with his administration either, in my opinion.
So you think he'll be a one-termer this time around?
Yeah. I really don't know what happened.
What was there, some kind of a deal? You told him what you wanted and he agreed to it?
Joe Vogler was always pretty close contact with Hickel, and he was a spokesman for the party. He was mm-hmm. the chairman of the party, and the rest of us on the Central Committee, we went along with him because mm-hmm. he was a strong leader. We could put our two bits worth in, but you couldn't hardly tell him what to do.
Pretty hard to convince.
Yeah.
So he was really the chairman from the very beginning of the party.
Yeah, yeah. He was always the chairman. He was always elected chairman. Yeah. And of course, what happened to Joe Vogler, I've got a few ideas.
Yeah, it's a real loss to the party, and certainly it was.
I think it was our own government that got rid of him. If you want my opinion, that goes into deep politics, but he was a pretty outspoken member of society, and he was quite influential.
Do you think the party has changed, since Joe's disappearance? Is it following pretty much his own?
No, it hasn't changed. We're still, in fact, we've even improved our platform. We had the convention in Wasilla on the 26th, 7th, and 8th of February. It was a nice convention. Of course, the Daily News in Anchorage kind of ridiculed us, kind of made fun of us a little bit. But what could you expect of that pink old paper? We just got a laugh out of it.
So Boyko is your...
But they couldn't really condemn any of our philosophies or any of our political views. They kind of made fun of us. They said we were... they ridiculed how the women were dressed, and most of us were dressed in clothes that dated back to the 50s, and most of us were... from 40, 50, and the 60, and we were not a decaf crowd, and we drank our coffee, and we drank it black, and stuff like that.
Oh, the world is defined by coffee drinkers.
Yeah, and we were all chasing ashtrays and smoking and stuff like that. They couldn't find anything serious to tell us about. No, it was fun. Laugh, I can't think now. I saved a copy of that paper. It was the best laugh I've had this year. Oh. So women were wearing up to 3-inch high heels, and they were dressed in anything from all the fancy gowns to their jeans.
Well, that's pretty typical of an Alaska scene, that there is no dress code. It's anything you want to wear, from mm-hmm. formal dress to something very informal. I remember the time that the, I guess it was the 25th anniversary of statehood, there people were dressed in any number of, I guess you didn't attend that, celebration at the Travelers.
We just laughed because we know where that paper is coming from, far left, so what do you expect?
So what are, I guess there's some confusion about what the Alaska Independence Party stands for, how it differs from some of the other groups like the Populist Party and some of the other parties in the country.
I have the party platform,
But basically it's for giving the state, the people in the state, a chance to vote again for...
Joe's plan was to convince the people of Alaska or in the legislature to give us the option of another vote for a territory, commonwealth, for commonwealth, statehood, or independence. That was Joe's goal.
And so it's remained the goal throughout
Because in 1958 we weren't given no choice according to the UN Charter, that the, according to Joe, he went by the UN Charter, of which the United States was a treaty, had a treaty with the UN Charter that we would be given non-self-governing territory, would have a chance of what kind of government, would have the opportunity to vote for the type of government they wanted. And we weren't given any except
statehood or
territory
not.
Or state. We were given, statehood was the only other choice that we should have had. And we should have been told, informed what choices we had and what the differences were. And none of that had occurred. We should have been presented with a little education program before the election and before the choices. These choices, they were supposed to really educate us into what the differences were, and none of that was.
So it was just a vote for or against statehood,
and
period.
Then what really burned Joe up was the fact that over 60,000 or so military could vote one time only. Why should they have been, why should it have been an exception? The military to vote one time only, and then the military people are all gone, and yet they voted for statehood, and they were told how to vote.
You mean they were not residents of the of Alaska?
No, they were.
And they could vote this one time?
One time only, and then thumb their nose at us and leave, literally.
So they had no rights to vote?
They had no legal right to vote even in a local election. No, that was a sore spot with Joe. That was really illegal. There's nothing constitutional or legal about that whatsoever. And that was a sore spot with Joe. Of course, he didn't favor statehood in the first place. That was adding insult to injury. I was so damn mad when I got home from work and saw all those guys lined up to vote. I knew it was cut and dried. I didn't even bother.
Oh, you were working at the base at the time.
Yeah. It infuriated me to the point where when I saw it was cut and dried and all these guys lined up there to vote, I wouldn't lower my dignity by even going to vote. That's the way I felt about it personally.
So the Alaska Independence Party is still working for this goal of... And what will this take? Just passing petitions around, or have you done that over the years?
Well, Alaska Independence Party feels like we got to do a little more educating of the public. a lot of people don't know the difference. They really don't know the difference or the advantages or disadvantages. They feel that we got to do a little more educating before there's any possibility.
Mm. So that's your immediate goal?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, a lot of people think that the Alaskans for independence and the Alaska Independence Party are the same.
Oh.
There's a vast difference.
Okay,
Alaska Independence Party is just a separate party, the same as the Republicans and the Democrats. And these are independent people that don't want to be associated with the other parties. But the Alaskans for Independence is the organization that was really for independence. But now most Alaskans, at least I'd say a large number of the members of the Alaska Independence Party are swinging over toward the goals of the Alaskans for Independence.
Mm-hmm. So within the party you have different factions.
Yeah.
Well, the Alaskans for Independence, they're not an organized party like yours, or they're just people that want this but we do not have a vehicle like you.
No, we're not a real organized party. We're a group. We're the original group that you might say is we're the parent party or something like that of the Alaska Independence Party. Alaskan. Yeah, well, I guess you could call us a group, a bunch of radicals or whatever you want to. Anyway, we set off the spark for the Alaska Independence Party. And Joe Vogler finally got enough votes to get the party
formally recognized.
Yeah, get it legal and on the ballot.
Mm-hmm. And that involved a petition drive?
I'm trying to remember just exactly how that occurred. Joe Vogler ran for governor, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two or three times, I think.
I'm trying to remember if that went through a petition or not. I believe it did. There was enough people on the petition to get it on the party, to get it to get them into the a legal, organized political party and on the ballot. I believe that's the way it goes through mm-hmm. a petition, doesn't it?
I think so.
At least I've signed
a few in my
day. I'm getting a lot of mental blocks at my age, so I don't have a good memory like Joe did, you know. I'm forgetting a lot. You have to kind of prod my memory
it's coming up to almost, over 20 years in existence. 1972.
Yeah.
And so is the party growing in ranks? Do you see some increase in the number of
the party
registrants?
The party is increasing in size. They're telling me it's up to about 18,000 members by now. And mm-hmm. Joe just started out with just a few people. We had about 100 people at this last convention. There were some pretty prominent people there that mm-hmm. seemed quite interested from different areas of Alaska. And we had mm-hmm. a lot of fun.
So do you seem to draw most of your people from the cities, or is it quite a wide geographic distribution of membership?
Mostly from Fairbanks, Anchorage, Kenai, the Wasilla area, some from the outlying areas.
Not many from Southeast or?
let's see, there was two or three from the southeast, I think.
So
there were some natives there, three or four natives from the outlying areas. But it was primarily from Fairbanks, Anchorage, and the valley, you know. Some from Kenai.
And you elected a new chairman?
Yeah, we elected Paul Boyko, chairman. And let's see, a guy by the Bob Logan and a fellow by the name of Holmes, vice chairman. Bob Logan, of course, is from Fairbanks. He's on the borough assembly. And Holmes is from Wasilla. And then
Boyko from Anchorage.
At Boyko from Anchorage. Lynette Clark from Fairbanks as secretary. And our treasurer is Rita. God, I can't think of her last name.
So they will serve for a couple of years?
Yeah, until the next convention, which would be in 96 now.
So, yeah, two more years.
Every 2 years. We don't know where it's going to be held.
So mining really sort of sparked your interest. I mean, what you ran into with government regulations got you interested in politics, would you say?
It really got me more interested in politics than I was. I've been interested in politics for years. But actually what really sparked my interest in politics was the John Birch Society when they came up here in 1966. I went to one of their presentations and I found out, well, they're strictly an educational organization. They're not a political. And there's a lot of questions in my mind that I'd like to find an answer to, because I feel like I am being manipulated like a yo-yo. I hear the news one day and it contradicts the next day, and I'm in total confusion. So I grabbed the opportunity to get educated, to find out if they were really an educational organization. And I joined them, and I was with them for 9 years. And I tell you, I learned a lot. I learned plenty. Joe Vogler didn't always agree with the Birch Society. He didn't like them either, because the Birch Society criticized the UN, you know. Birch Society exposed the UN for the fake fraud that it is. It's a, but Joe Vogel, he wanted to work with the UN because the United States had the treaty with the UN for the treaty to these territory non-self-governing territories to vote for their vote for their form of government that they preferred, you know. There's a word for that. I can't think of it. It was on the tip of my tongue. But anyway, and Joe Vogler figured that was about the only way that we'd ever get a vote, if he could get somebody in the UN to sponsor his resolution. And I think that's what done him in.
Because a lot of speculation.
Well, the Birch Society, warned about the UN. This is that's nothing but a communist organization. That the UN, of course, it's controlled. It's controlled by the Russians, actually. We didn't have a chance. The United States didn't have a chance as long as we were in the UN. Their slogan was "Get us out of the UN and get the UN out of the U.S." And of course, we know that the Korean War was through the UN, and that the Russians knew everything in advance what all our plans were and everything. Birch Society.
So that's what the Birch Society maintained.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they can back it up. They. Mm-hmm. I finally dropped out of the Birch Society when I started. It seemed to me I was getting more and more lists of different conservative organizations that were. Well, they were zeroing in on a lot of information I didn't have. Some of it was overlapping information, but. The Birch Society, our coordinator wanted us to stick with Birch Society materials only, and having an inquisitive mind, I didn't want to be confined down to just one source of information, so I started getting information from many other sources, and really got an education. I got a lot of my education from what you call celestial revelations.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, the book one. That you read from before, yes.
This saintly woman, she has given celestial revelations in the state of Wisconsin for 20 years, telling us everything our enemy was doing. It's uncanny. Mm-hmm. And I went through hundreds of dollars of information in the Birch Society and other sources to get most of the information is right here in this one book that I paid less than $5 for. She was telling it like it was all those years. The treachery in our government and all this, what the Russians were up to. So, anyway, I have an inquisitive mind, and I like to back up. I like to have some backup to the information I have in this. It absolutely amazed me within this book that here I get a hold of these books 20 some years after I've learned the hard way, and I find most of the information is right there. And then there's another saint in New York today. She's been giving us warnings and messages for 24 years. She's been giving us the warnings and the consequences if we don't change our ways of what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And of course she's ridiculed and all that, but you know how it is. So is the prophets. They killed the prophets in the old days, and she's a modern prophet.
Okay, well, we've certainly covered a lot of territory from your early days in Rampart and some of the experiences you had as a child growing up in Holy Cross to your involvement in the Alaska Independence Party. I want to thank you very much for being a part of the Pioneers of Alaska interview series, and I've enjoyed talking to you very much.
Well, I hope I contributed something to your archives, something worthwhile. Oh, yeah, I think I've been around for a long time. I've seen all the changes in Alaska from the days of the dog team to the jet. And sometimes I feel like I've just about heard and seen everything, I'll tell you. And what's going to happen. I pretty well know what's going to happen, but I can't reveal it here.